welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This has been one rough week, and some of you may notice that we really only got two original shows out. We had internet problems, I should say networking problems, because Comcast, our first off, it started off with our router actually failing. They couldn't figure out what the problem was. So anyway, it took way too long, but I did learn quite a bit about Comcast and their model and so forth. This is something I've learned, that if you are fighting with your ISP, what is an ISP? It's your infrastructure service provider based on ITIL standards. Most people refer to it as their internet service provider. And so in context to internet service provider, because technically for most homes, the ISP or the internet service provider is your infrastructure service provider. So anyway, and I may actually have that wrong as far as the ITIL. I know it's infrastructure. Yeah, I think it's infrastructure service provider and application service provider. Anyway, ASP and ISP. Anywho, without going around the mulberry bush on that one, let me just say this, that when you have a problem and you call in and they go, oh, okay, it sounds like you've, and they quasi-troubleshot your problem and say, well, we need to send somebody out. And they tell you that they have to send somebody out tomorrow, not the same day. And you're dealing with somebody that you can tell is not sitting in the United States. they don't seem to have a good mastering of the English language and, you know, grammar, context, and so forth. So what you do is you ask them for a phone number for your local support team or your local support office so that you can talk to somebody there. And voila, within, it only took me, you know, a little bit of maybe 2 minutes of saying, I can't believe you don't, you know, in within your corporate, I mean, what corporation doesn't have a phone listing of all the other, you know, entities within the corporation? And, you know, and after going down that path, wouldn't you know it, but all of a sudden I was told, oh, well, we have an open spot that just opened up and we can send somebody out right now. How does that sound? And come to find out, when that person showed up, they said, no, I nobody canceled. We, you know, I was just sitting there. I'm kind of a backfill for, you know, emergency stuff. And anyway, I said, oh, okay. So bottom line is they typically have somebody they can send out, but they only want to send that out either to the squeaky wheel or to some real problem. And so they try to marginalize. Well, you can wait another day. Don't let them do that. Don't let them put you off. But anyway, well, I've got a lot to talk about. One of the things that I'd like to talk a lot about is CPAC and how CPAC is an absolute waste of time. Until CPAC actually starts really calling out, instead of the name pointing and your finger pointing that they do constantly, they're not a part of the solution. And it really amazes me how little focus is really placed on what is the real problem and what is the real solution. Because if they're not telling you that the non-compliance to the Constitution is our number one problem, and this is not something that the left has a complete monopoly on, left and right, there's too many people that don't understand how we're not in compliance to the Constitution. I mean, rhinos all over the place really believe that what they're doing is constitutional. Even Republicans, getting them to do the right thing isn't easy. It is not one of those things that you can just say, okay, voila, we're doing the right thing now, right? No, they continue to do the things that they've learned that this is how you do things. Anyway, you know the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence of what we need to be doing if we're going to save our republic and get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Kind of got a lot of stuff I want to cover, so I will just say that if you want to call in, this is why we have a comment line, because if I've got so much, you lose the effect when you have to bridge, kind of like what I'm doing right now, because I still have to finish, you know, the comment or the news regarding when evil begins to brag. You can tell they really believe they're in that position. So it's really hard to have a succinct message when you have to split it up over two episodes. And my real information that I want to provide to you today is so important, I don't want to split it up. So we may even, if I have to, in editing process before this show goes out, I may actually have to remove a couple of spots just so I can make sure that I get this entire show done. Anyway, as you know, we have a listener drive. Please get with your like-minded friends and let them start understanding and drinking from the fountain of truth. If you're looking for an elixir that will get the genie back in the bottle, this is it. Okay, so first let me wrap up as to how I was giving you examples of how you can tell when evil people feel so emboldened that they brag about their success because they believe there is nothing anyone can do about what they're doing. They believe they are winning or have won the necessary battles that they have an overwhelming advantage. These people marginalize the Lord because they do not fear him. They do not understand we have and that he has given us, in politics, he has given us everything we need to defeat them. Now, whether we defeat, you know, evil in our own lives, you know, that all depends on whether we're adult enough to address those problems as we should. You know, in other words, are we doing something or is some of our behavior contrary to our salvation? If so, we have to grow up and actually become responsible and accountable and, you know, take that bull by the horns and put it down. Anyway, here is another piece that G. Edward Griffin provided in his Need to Know News regarding that Time Magazine article that was published, and it provided a detailed description of how the left organized the ouster of President Donald Trump in the 2020 election. It is a window into the structure of the groups that colluded to put Joe Biden into office. Why are they showing you this? Because they feel that emboldened. This is my point. When you see things like this coming out, then they feel like they have that type of an advantage. As G. Edward Griffin says, some of the main players included big tech, we all knew this, and the media outlets, of course, we all knew that too, that controlled the flow of information. The AFL-CIO that supposedly represents workers and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that supposedly represents entrepreneurs joined forces to pressure Trump and Republican politicians to accept defeat. The riots of Antifa and Black Lives Matter were weaponized as a looming threat against anyone who opposed or had the power to stop the certification of the 2020 election. Now, we got a lawsuit moving forward. We're going to push the Supreme Court into the corner. Either the Supreme Court is the guardians of the Constitution, or they are the lapdogs for the globalist agenda, period. They take an oath to support the Constitution and to defend it. And if they don't, my friends, then if they actually dismiss this lawsuit, then as far as I'm concerned, this is it. Because this clearly is a play of a violation that Congress is guilty of in violating the Constitution. And the Supreme Court must, and I say this emphatically, must force Congress to do their job. Now, let me move straight into what I really want to talk about. And so I'm dealing with a long-time frustration. I've shared these things with you before, and I want to put this into context because just recently, in working with the Convention of States, or not with them, but working in and with those people who are debating the Convention of States in legislative bodies, subcommittees, and so forth in a couple of states, and we'd already done Montana. And so what I want to do is I want to give you some insights. And more importantly, I want you to understand how and why we are being divided that we don't even know. And I'll give you a good example of this. Currently, those organizations who claim to be definitive authorities on the Constitution are misleading good people, and in some ways, they don't know better. Some of these people in these organizations just haven't even a clue that what they're doing is one, a lie, and or outright misleading. And those at the upper level leadership have chosen to serve their organizational interests over the truth. Now, the Constitution Party is not one of those organizations. And I'm telling you that the Constitution Party should be, and as far as I'm concerned, if there is going to be a definitive leader on what is constitutional, what the Constitution is about, it should be the Constitution Party, period. And they should be the ones leading in the definitive, because if you look at, and you understand the politics of everything, the party really should be that pure and that true. So anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. And we're just getting it heated up right now. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
So technically, I challenge a lot of these folks that are coming out as, I'm the champion, I'm the leader of the conservative cause. You know, as people considered Rush Limbaugh the leader, he was the one that started the movement, but he was never the leader of the solution. He reacted to systematic problems, but he never dealt with the systemic problem, which was compliance to the Constitution, or failure to comply to the Constitution by the government and by so many. So anyway, as I was saying, the Constitution Party should be the definitive authority on the Constitution. And I would like to see them actually kind of like do what we've done with what King James did with the Bible, but I get to that. What we have to do is we have to create a concerted effort to lay out the bedrock of truth, as I've been trying to do. And as a matter of fact, as I'm going down and researching more and more, as I refute these outlier arguments, such as the one I'm going to expose to you, all it does is it proves to me, as I learn the details of more from more source documents on what has happened prior to the Constitution, what led to the Constitution, and all of these things inclusive, I have recognized that that Republic Review, I don't want to say this wrong, but Republic Review, it becomes even more and more irrefutable. And I will get into that as we kind of meander down this dialogue or this ranting that I have today. One must place context to the evolution of the sovereign states as they went from colonies to sovereign states. From the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution, there were very specific things that kind of occurred as we were meandering or as we were literally fighting and struggling to create an anchor for individual liberty. So I'm struggling for words here because I want to make sure I actually give you the right metaphor, something that, you know, we could rely on for the rest of the existence of this nation until Christ came. As I was saying, what we have to do regarding the Constitution is something similar to what King James did. You have to understand, why did King James canonize the Bible? Why did he create a definitive Bible and in so doing canonize the Bible? Why did he do that? Because everybody realized that there was an institution that was using whatever it felt to further and to support what it was doing. And so what King James basically did was he answered the cry for the people to have the scriptures in their own possession. But what were the scriptures? See, there was never a canonizing of the Bible. The Bible wasn't canonized with Adam and Eve. The Bible was canonized by King James. And what that means is that, you know, they compiled what books would be scriptures and what wouldn't. Now, we're kind of reliant upon, you know, the accuracy and, you know, what these guys' best guesses were. But bottom line, that's that they created a consensus in creating that Bible. And in essence, we need to do the exact same thing to establish a purified paradigm, two P's, a purified paradigm of the Constitution. There are very specific facts that too many people are obviating. And so one of those facts that is obviated today is that the Constitution is a compact and that only the states are parties to this compact. The Supreme Court is not a party to the compact. It is a subcontractor. They have been created to do a very specific job. And only those things that they've been given the power to do can they do. So in purifying the paradigm of the Constitution that we need to establish, this bedrock of our government, along with galvanizing true individual liberty and individual sovereignty so that we can integrate that back into the American society and the American culture. I've been pretty vocal over the years about self-proclaimed authorities of the Constitution and how they are only concerned about their self-preservation and not the truth. And in so doing, they are deliberately misleading and even lying to the American people. So, you know, guess who's going to be naming names? At least I'm going to only pick on one. But I want you to think, are you affiliated with a group that is taking the same stance as the John Birch Society? So, as I've said, one such group you've heard me rail about is the JBS. And to be clear, the leadership And those who have drank the Kool-Aid, in other words, those who walk blindly behind the thought control, and you know, this is our position. We're going to stay on this position and this point. Are those who are perpetuating lies, whether they know it or not, they're perpetuating lies. One outright lie is how they basically lead people to believe that what we're doing and Republic Review is akin or leads to or is a deception and is only a trick to create the Convention of States. They, because I use the word convention, it's in my title, because they've created such a culture of fear of the word convention, and they've indoctrinated people to think all conventions are evil because it is going to be a constitutional convention. If anybody understands the word convention, the term convention's primary definition is a process, right? There are software conventions, there are hardware conventions, and I'm not talking about meetings, I'm talking about processes. And there are conventions that are considered well-accepted practices or well-accepted understandings or well-accepted agreements. There are conventions that are typical and standard, and then there's the unconventional that's not typical and not standard. Look at what the word really means, and then all of a sudden, when we have an organization that is trying to program people to, you know, look at that one C word as evil, it's the same thing that the progressives do with conspiracy. I ask you, and you've heard me over the past years, to do the due diligence. As a matter of fact, I never ask you to take my word for it. Why do I read the source documents and tell you, go read these things? Because when you read the source documents, you will be given the truth. And if you understand the God-given and legal authority the states have in this republic, Republic Review makes it possible to remove even the Constitutional Convention from the Constitution. I want you to understand this. Once the states start exercising Republic Review and start stripping away all of these unconstitutional powers, and they'll have to do, they can't just do it in a flurry, you know, get rid of all of these things. They have to basically, one at a time, so it's going to take a little while to lay out how this has to be done, because you can't lump it into, you know, this boilerplate. And so as each resolution comes to get rid of the Department of Education, to get rid of the Department of Energy, there will be unique things like the Department of Energy. They don't just get rid of it. The states should require the federal government to provide all of its records and all of its data into a central repository so that the states can share that data. Because those things that they're holding on to, where the oil reservoirs are and where potential other energy sources and so forth, I think would be very valuable for the states to have. And so there are reasons why you have to make sure that we capture those things. But if you understand, go read the process. It is pretty clarified within that process that there is a subcommittee that looks at each violation and tries to put it into context of its importance to the Republic. If there's anything that has merit or value, then the Republic should demand that data and that information. On the other side, all information and data needs to actually become, as far as, you know, how the government has been operating, like who's been pulling the strings and so forth, that all needs to be exposed. We need to identify who the real evil players are, and Republic Review will expose all of that. But again, back to this outright lie that Republic Review, according to the John Birch Society, is a deception and is only some trickery and sorcery by me that will actually create a constitutional convention. Don't believe it, folks. You've never heard me say that we need to amend the Constitution or even rewrite the Constitution. But when you start looking at as the states, because this is something Madison and the framers couldn't fathom, as the states finally have a technological advantage to where they can actually interact with the federal government. Because you got to remember, back in the days of the framers, they were flying blindly. The states didn't find out what the federal government did unless the federal government told them, because or they had to have spies there to report and so forth. Now, with the internet and everything else, we have access and can see everything that is going on before it happens. The states can intervene dynamically, something that Madison and the framers couldn't even fathom. So with that, we will come back and show you how Republic Review can remove the language in the in Article 5 that allows the states to call for a constitutional convention, and why we can get rid of it and no longer fear for it. We'll be right back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so to be very clear, when the states decide something's going to happen or something isn't going to happen, they have the authority, as long as it's not prohibited to them by the Constitution. Because remember, what powers do the states have? It's pretty clear. And it's right here in the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, in other words, in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection, 10, are reserved to the states, respectively, toward the people. So in other words, if the Constitution didn't delegate to the federal government the ability to control all things and only these enumerated things, then the states have the superior hand in saying, you can't do these things that are left to us. You're encroaching. And what's really important, this is what you have to understand. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court thinks and what they rule. What matters is what the states think and what they rule. So in other words, let's say the Supreme Court thinks that they make this ruling because they think that that's their interpretation of the Constitution. The ultimate interpretation of the Constitution that has the final say or the ultimate veracity and ultimate sovereign over that Constitution are the states. That's why Article 5 requires the states to be the ones to finalize whether an amendment or a change to the Constitution will occur. So this is why when you start looking at this and you start understanding truly the powers that the states have, other than those few powers that we've delegated on foreign. So in other words, states don't have the ability to initiate or have any business dealing with foreign affairs. That's the federal government's job. We've delegated that power to them. This is why I say I have no problem with the existing Constitution and the existing amendments. None of those amendments are allowing all of these problems to occur. As a matter of fact, when I look at them, there is no such thing as a general power within any of them to allow the federal government to do all this crap that they've been doing. Now, yeah, we can get rid of some of those amendments because they're contrary or antithetical to the spirit of the Constitution, such as the 17th and 16th Amendments. Clearly, when you start looking at the tenacity and the magnitude of the power that the states possess, why would the states ever need to have a constitutional convention? We should be able to close the door, period, on ever having to redo our government. Because as you look at the amendment process, there's three real reasons for an amendment, and there's two real reasons why the Convention of States want to call a convention for amending the Constitution. The first and primary reason is that there's a deficiency with the Constitution. No, there's no deficiency with the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, the Convention of States have failed to even provide any evidence that it is the Constitution, or all of our problems stem from the Constitution. They don't. None at all. So there's no deficiency. There's no power that we need to grant the federal government any more power or take away the power that the Constitution gives them. So those three reasons for amending the Constitution are moot. There is no purpose. There are no justification for amending the Constitution over those three reasons. So the only other two reasons why the Convention of States wants to meet is because, one, they can either rewrite the Constitution, or two, they're out to create a perpetual convention and practically creating a fourth branch of government. And as far as I'm concerned, that is reckless, that's dangerous, and it's unconstitutional. Now, I've asked you time and time again to do the due diligence, and so I continue to ask you to do that, and I continue to read through and point you to the source documents so that you have them in your own hands and you can actually, you know, partake of the truth. I am here to tell you that the states have been duped into believing that they are subordinate to the general government. However, they are the ones who should be driving this republic, not the general government. And with republic review, they will be driving this republic. And this is why we can get rid of the Article 5 convention out of the Constitution. I'll give you another lie that John Birch, the society, the JBS, uses specifically in their argument against the Convention of States. They constantly call the Constitutional Convention a runaway convention. There's no way, there's no evidence at all. As a matter of fact, what they're trying to do is they're trying to actually create this comparison of the Constitutional Convention and how these guys went down this path of writing a new Constitution to what the Convention of States are doing. The fact is, the Articles of Confederation were inept. There's a reason why Rhode Island was called Rogue Island. R-O-U-G, Island. And I'm telling you that when you look at the Articles of Confederation, you do the due diligence, you do the history. When you are all done reading all of the problems with the Articles of Confederation, the question I have is, remember the reasons for amending the Constitution. Are there deficiencies with the Constitution? Not with ours. But with the Articles of Confederation, there were all sorts of deficiencies. And one of the things I'm doing is I'm actually laying those things out. But there were plenty of amendments. I mean, when I say plenty, there were more than 11 amendments in a short period of time that they tried to change. Many things they tried to fix with the Articles of Confederation, and every time they tried to fix a problem with the Articles of Confederation, guess what happened? They realized the biggest problem with the Articles of Confederation. And the biggest problem was that they couldn't get past Rogue Island, because Article 13 in the Articles of Confederation required full unanimous assent. In other words, all 13 colonies had to ratify before anything could be done. And if you understand what that means, you understand just how dangerous one outlier, one rogue can be, and how ludicrous. I challenge anybody to demand, if you have a business, you must have all of your employees consent to, you know, unanimously on something that's going to be done. You will realize that you can't get anything done when you are held hostage to one, two, or even a small faction of people that want to constrain you and constrain your power. And so the academic evidence is there that the biggest problem that the Constitutional Convention had to get rid of was the unanimous assent. This is one of the reasons why they basically said, hey, we're creating a new government here. You don't have to. You can stay in the Articles of Confederation. But those who want to join this new government, here is the Constitution for this. Was this within their commission? They were asked in their commission to deal with all of the deficiencies and come forth with a recommendation. Now I want to be very clear here. Had the commission been a runaway, go look at the word runaway. There are only three real definitions for a runaway. Somebody that's kind of abandoned their position, and or, well, the other one, because the two are very similar. Somebody that's either abandoned their duty or abandoned their commission, and those people who have gone, when they say runaway, out of control. So was the Constitutional Convention out of control? No. Did these guys abandon their duty in trying to provide and provide a new set of governments, not a new set of government, a new rule, or I should say the amendments that they sought? Because they clearly had charge of fixing and finding all of the deficiencies. So they did exactly what they were supposed to do. And anybody saying that they are a runaway can only mean the third definition. If you've ever watched a game where, like the Seahawks-Denver Super Bowl game, that was a runaway game because the Seahawks dominated that. And if one puts in context that the Constitutional Convention was a runaway only because it was an overwhelming victory in changing our government from the inept and dysfunctional Articles of Confederation into a perfect machine firing on all cylinders and functioning in a way these guys didn't even know could function. I take umbrage. I take a huge, just, it really bothers me when anybody makes these types of assertions. And as a matter of fact, I wish that those men of that convention could come back today. And every time a John Bircher or anybody who's followed that deceptive line that this was a runaway convention, I would love to see Alexander Hamilton charge these guys to a duel, because that's what they would do. They're impugning their character and their honor by saying that they were a runaway, that they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. These men worked hard. And in contrast to the Convention of States, these guys knew what they were doing. They understood the problems, and they came back. And as a matter of fact, Madison had the plan. One of the things they even say, the John Birches say, is, you know, that it was all secret. Madison was forthright with the entire state of Virginia. Madison was forthright, and he came forward with the Virginia plan prior to the meeting. I mean, they got to Maryland early. He presented this plan, and Randolph loved it so much, he said, we'll make that the Virginia plan. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos to hopefully finish my rant today. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me make two points before moving on. The Republic, the Union, needed a government that was capable of exercising the authority necessary to provide for this general government, needed the necessary powers to be able to provide for the Union it was to serve. And when the Declaration of Independence was done, it did not create a government. It was basically some assertions and principles that Thomas Jefferson put onto a piece of parchment with a little bit of approval and help from Benjamin Franklin and Adams. I mean, in essence, the Declaration of Independence was Thomas Jefferson's baby. When that was done and we moved forward with the Revolution, then what we had was the Articles of Confederation. They had to patch these things together. And the only way they could get the Union to kind of coalesce was this concept of, well, we all have to buy into it. So they created an inept general government. The only thing that we had going for us was some faith by other people. And had France and Holland looked at the Articles of Confederation and said, you know what, you don't have the ability to pay us back. Because all of the debt that we took on from France, Holland, and other nations, and I believe John Adams was critical in getting that funding from Holland, we could not do what we needed to do. The government was going to fail. And as a matter of fact, Rogue Island, one of the big problems Rogue Island actually helped exacerbate, was the fact that they started printing specie of money and inflating their currency so that they could pay their debt back that way, just like what Germany did. That's problematic. And what kind of honor is that when you say, I'm going to pay my debt back, but I'm going to pay it to you in such a way that it's actually worthless? I'm really not honoring my debt. And when you have a state like Rogue Island at that point in time, it forces the fact that we have to fix and give, as Madison said, the general government with enough energy to be able to do its job. And ergo, we have the Constitution. But more importantly, the second point I want to make is that out of these three efforts, out of the three commissions or delegates, because it was Jefferson, Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin, who worked on the Declaration of Independence, not one of them stated that it was the divine hand of providence that brought forth that, you know, worked through all three of them to create that document. There was no echoing of that same sentiment with the Articles of Confederation. It was a patch job at best, and everybody understood that. However, with the Constitution, the Constitutional Convention, it was clear, and all of these men attested to the divine hand of providence inspiring them, which is why unanimously Congress demanded a day of recognition, of a day of thanksgiving for the nation, to set a tone for thanksgivings to come in recognizing the divine hand of providence and bestowing this Constitution unto these people. So that said, way too many people have begun echoing this lie and this process that groups have been establishing, this paradigm that these people are starting to actually call out the Constitution as illegitimate. And I'm going to give you two groups that have actually started moving forward because they feel our constitutional republic is illegitimate. It's illegitimate because it's violating the Constitution, not because the Constitution's illegitimate. One of those groups is the Sovereign Citizen Movement. So in other words, the John Birch Society, with perpetuating this lie, has helped feed and grow this concept of the Sovereign Citizens Movement. And another group is this group that's out there that is similar to the Sovereign Citizen Movement that is trying to create committees of safety to replace our established government. To be clear, the lies that the John Birch Society and others are perpetuating are destructive and divisive. We can't let these things go on. We must be uniting on the Constitution. It is our only legitimate Constitution and the supreme law of this land. The ratification was not only legitimate, it has been solidified as the supreme law of land through the centuries, through the continued ratification by the states coming into it, as well as ratifying new amendments to it. The fact is, the federal government's violations are what is illegitimate, and there are a plethora of these, and what scares the John Birch Society and other organizations the most is basically, and the reason why they feed the problem is that they know that I am right, or that Republic Review will actually solve this problem. And we, those who of us that support Republic Review, are their greatest enemy. Because, and you've heard me say this, we are going to kill their goose that lays their golden egg. They are making money, and their relevance exists because of the problem. They become insignificant. Now, unlike the Eagle Forum, the Eagle Forum still maintains relevance and significance as we restore the Constitution, because they're about morality and trying to help turn the morality of this nation back. The John Birch Society, in other words, they don't have any depth to them. If we solve the problem, they're pretty much done. And I care not to be labeled as the enemy of the evil institutions and self-proclaimed leaders of these organizations. All of these folk, including those conservative entertainers who are serving mammon, are the deceivers and the doers of evil, and they know what they're doing. The truth comes out when they begin to attack me and those who are supporting Republic Review, not because they're refuting Republic Review, but they are basically attacking our character. In other words, if you can't actually defeat the argument, then you attack the messenger. And that's exactly what they're doing. I wrote this in my book, that they won't be able to refute this process, that down the road, that the only thing they'll be able to do is find, because we're all men, we all have our failings, you know. I have a past. I did things, I did drugs and those types of things. This guy, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter what comes out. What comes out is, you know, just an indictment that I still have to face the Lord with. But the truth is the truth. And when you can't destroy the truth, then you have to destroy the man. And that's why they're actually out there trying to destroy you, you know, not just yours truly, anybody that's going to stand up. Look at what they've been doing. Look at this, they call it the cancel culture. So we have to start doing what is right. You know, we can't allow our mistakes to hold us down and to keep us hostage so that we can't do the right things. The whole plan of salvation is to repent from your sins and to turn from them and do the right thing. We all have our sins. And I don't look at anybody with any less, you know, than a person, than a patriot that is standing up and doing the right thing. Now, when we turn away and we start actually fighting the good and become evil, then you need to change your ways. And I'm hoping, and I believe that many of the people, when they start hearing these facts and truth, and when they do their own research, that they're not so steeped and so blinded by their biases that they can't come to the truth. We have done so much work, and I can't say that I haven't been able to do this with the Lord's help. We now just need to lay out the truth through the source documents, which is what I've been doing as to the true evolution of our government. So I'm actually going to give you an academic article that lays out what ended up, you know, how the Articles of Confederation came to be and how they were the problem and how we had to have this Constitutional Convention. And even if there was a state or two that said we need to have a unanimous, but there's no clear delineation that they had to have the state ratified by 100%. If that would have been the case, and this is what I was trying to say going into break, if it was illegitimate, if they violated their commission, then the Continental Congress legally would be bound to tear up the Constitution and say, you violated the, you know, the commission, what we told you to do and what the states told you to do. Now, if you guys want to do this again, we'll try this next year. But they knew, as well as everybody else, has started putting their hands on this Constitution, that this was a solution. And this is why the Continental Congress passed this Constitution to the states for ratification. And every state, then this is why, my friends, every state ratified that Constitution, even Rogue Island. Rogue Island started acknowledging and recognizing that they too needed to be a part of the Union. They did not want to be that outlier right there on the edge of the ocean that, you know, would be isolated as the enemy of the Union. This is why I say Georgia and the Carolinas should have been allowed to lead the Union over slavery. The Constitution should have drawn that line. It was a bad political compromise, and that's my only complaint regarding the delegates. And I think that, you know, they know this, and they had to roll over in their grave until now. They probably still are. In contrast to the evolution of life, we have a solid grasp along with the source documents that give us this proof. This is why it's not that hard. When you really do the due diligence, you realize how deficient, how defunct, how inept those Articles of Confederation are and how we had to have the convention and give us what we did. Didn't get through it all, so I'll try to wrap up, but we're pretty close and I'm in the summary point. And so we will wrap this up in our next episode. God bless America. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake.
send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.